had one, we had four scheduled, but we had one settle at the last minute. So we will only have the three cases today and we, versus NASA.
May it please the court, my name is Michael Maloney. I'm one of the lawyers representing the appellant in this case, Greg Schnackel. I would reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This is a case with a very complicated record and a very intricate assignment of errors. I think there are 17 in all. And for that reason, I'm going to dive right into the legal argument and field whatever questions the court has along the way, keeping in mind that I've reserved 2 minutes and hopefully that I can save some of that to respond to the cross appeal that's also pending in this case. The first issue that I brought to the court's attention within the briefing in this case is one that I think I must talk about because it's a jurisdictional issue, and that is the lack of the inclusion of AEA integration as a necessary party in this case. AEA, from the review of the record, is a corporation, an S corporation that provides software and enterprise support to the other business that's owned by my client, and that's SEI, Schnackel Engineers Incorporated. AEA is an S corporation that the trial court attempted to incorporate in its property division in this case. And that's reflected on Exhibit 401, which is attached to the amended decree here. Specifically, what the trial court tried to do here was three things with respect to AEA. First, it attempted to value AEA, but found after reviewing the expert testimony in this case that AEA's value was subsumed or incorporated into SEI's value, and that effectively all of the experts in the case unanimously concluded that those two businesses had to be valued together. And so what the experts did and what the court ultimately found is that those two businesses do have a value of approximately $3 million, and it then went on to divide that value among the parties, giving about $2 million to my client, Greg Schnackel, and giving about $1 million to Laura Schnackel in the form of an equalization payment that I'll discuss later in my arguments. The problem is that AEA was not named a party to this case, and specifically that is the duty of the plaintiff under Nebraska law. And because Laura Schnackel didn't add AEA as a party, my contention to this court is that the trial court really only had one thing to do here. It had the authority to divide the issued and outstanding stock of AEA, and it attempted to do that in its decree, but doing that was about as far as it could go. The other two things the trial court attempted to do here with respect to AEA were to divide any future issues of stock. To the extent that that happens in the future, we're not sure, but it said that any stock that is issued in the future must be divided 50-50 between the parties, ostensibly to make sure that the parties' positions couldn't be diluted in future issues of stock. And then second, to divide what I will call speculative and hypothetical profits, whatever those
may be. Before you jump to that part, I want to take you back to what you just said about any future stock. Tell me how you are interpreting the court's statement. Laura is awarded 50% of all issued and outstanding capital stock in AEA. My understanding is there are 10,000 shares authorized and only 1,000 shares issued. So how do you interpret that sentence?
Right, so I think it's important to note that basically what the trial court did here, it divided what it could divide. And I think that you'll notice a difference between what started as the original decree and the amended decree here. There's a difference in the way that the language is treated. But ultimately, I believe the difference between the decree and the amended decree is that it attempted to walk back the way it divided the future issues of stock. But in doing so, it didn't fix the ultimate problem, which is that the amended decree still purports to divide things that don't exist yet. And because those things don't exist, they've not been accumulated and acquired during the marriage. And because that hasn't happened, the court didn't have the authority to make the division.
So as to my question, is Laura being awarded 500 shares, or is she being awarded 5,000 shares?
I interpret the language of the amended decree to be that only 500 is awarded under its terms as they exist today. I think that the anti-dilution language suggests that if there are future issues of stock, that those would go between the parties in equal shares. I think there's an open question about what happens if there are other people who become owners of the business, and that's another part of the error with respect to AEA.
So are you reading issued and outstanding capital stock to mean 10,000?
No, I think the issued and outstanding stock is the 1,000 that exists today.
So why do you think Laura is being awarded future
So it's unclear that the future issue comes up given the change in the language of the decree and amended decree. But I think the problem is, no matter how you slice it here, it's still at least a double count of the value at issue, because the incorporation of AEA's value into SEI represents the whole value of those two companies.
But wasn't it zero?
I don't think it's correct to say it was zero. I think it's correct to say that it's difficult to determine what AEA's value is, and because we don't have a way to show what the market for AEA is or what its use within a commercialized setting is outside of its support to SEI, that the experts lumped it all together and said that the businesses have a combined value of about $3 million. And
isn't there evidence of substantial marital funds being invested in AEA?
That's correct, Judge Arterburn. I think that the evidence suggests there was somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 million to $8 million that was invested in AEA over the course of the marriage, and I think AEA began right around 2003. And the evidence, I think, suggests, in addition to that, that the expectation for further investment in AEA was about $1.2 million per year forward after the time of the entry of the decree in this case. But I think, despite that investment, what we have in the record is an analysis that gets us to a point where we can't say whether AEA is marketable. We don't know if it'll be marketable in the future upon that further investment, because no one was ever really able to get to that point. We know that it provides some support to SEI. We know that it's a marketing tool used by SEI to generate business, but we don't know that AEA has any value separate from SEI and the work that it does for SEI. And it's possible that we'll get
So
there.
You're saying that there was evidence that it was marketed as part of SEI's business. So the services that AEA provides through SEI is something of value.
I think that's correct, Judge. And the way that that's demonstrated, I think there's specific evidence that's adduced through Laura Schnackel's testimony, for example, where there were demonstrations given to both the employees and to potential customers of SEI about what AEA does for SEI's business, that it streamlines the production of engineering drawings, and that those streamlined drawings are then cleaned up and incorporated and used in the day-to-day operations of SEI as it sells that engineering work to people. Undoubtedly, I would say that that has value, but I think the experts' testimony and the substance of the reports that were adduced in this case, including Exhibit 18, which is the report from Matt Stadler the trial court ultimately relied on here, shows that it's very difficult to say what independent value that has apart from AEA's work for SEI.
Which is why the court gave 50% instead of a solid number.
Correct. Right? I think that's correct. And not only that, we know that there was also an attempt to license AEA at one point, and the evidence in the record suggests that there was at least one commercialized use of that licensing, but it didn't last very long. I think there's potential, based on our record, for that licensing to occur in the future. We just don't have enough information about what that looks like based on our record at trial here. And because of that, it makes sense why the trial court accepted the valuation presented by Matt Stadler here, but it doesn't get rid of the double dip problem that I've argued to you in my brief. Specifically, AEA has one value. We may not know what it is, but it has one value in this situation. And I would suggest to this court, based on my briefing and the review of the documents that are incorporated within the amended decree, that we can only divide it once, but the trial court divided it three times. Once in the valuation of SEI, twice in the division of the direct stock of AEA, and three times in the division of future profits and expenses, whatever those are. And I would note that those expenses are not expenses that Laura Schnackel is on the hook for. The trial court specifically required Greg to be the person to invest that.
Well,
money.
The additional expenses.
Correct.
But half of that $7 million was invested or would have been hers, right?
I think it would have come out of the capital of SEI that Laura eventually received a share of. That's correct, Judge.
Okay.
The next issue that I've...
So in the event that you're going to run out of time and not have rebuttal, I want to address the cross appeal for a minute. Explain to me how and why the increase in Laura's inheritance is active income.
So I think I'm obligated to start by saying I don't think the cross appeal is properly presented here, and I've argued that to you in my brief. I won't do so in addition to what I've argued. But my argument on the substance of the cross appeal, should you get there, even though I don't think that you should, is that Stevens versus Stevens from 2017 changed the landscape of our property division jurisprudence. Basically what it says is active appreciation is really broad. It's any efforts that either spouse puts into the appreciation and value of that property.
So when a person inherits money, if they put it in any interest-bearing account, it's no, the gain is then marital?
I think we're operating in a little bit of a gray area on that point. What I can say is that Nebraska law on that point is undeveloped. I think that there's more than simply placing something in an interest-bearing account here, although I would be skeptical if it were our case that the money was just placed in an interest-bearing account, that that would be enough. I think, however, that the evidence in our case shows us that there were, at the very least, research performed on the stocks to invest in, and that there was input both by Greg and by Laura about where the stock investment would occur. There were profits on some, and there was a loss, I think, on a JCPenney stock. In addition to that, there was a transfer out of the TD Ameritrade accounts that were the subject of the cross appeal into a separate fund managed by DA Davidson here in Omaha. And because of those decisions, I represent to the court, and it's my contention today that that is active appreciation.
So if a party inherits funds and they get a check of inherited funds, they decide they want to invest it based upon some research they did into a mutual fund. By depositing it into that mutual fund, they automatically then are, it automatically becomes active investment to which the other spouse gets.
The important point, I think, if I may respond to your question, Judge, the important point I think there is the extent to which we're talking about research and expertise utilized to invest the money. I think if all that's happening is an investment into a mutual fund that's controlled by someone other than the person making the investment, the argument tends toward not active appreciation. I think if, on the other hand, you're actively choosing which stocks to purchase and sell or which money to transfer into which stock investment, the case is much better for active appreciation. I believe that we're on that side of the coin in this case.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. How long did we take counsel over?
1 minute and 36 seconds.
Can you please add that to Mr. Hudson's time? If he wishes to have it.
If I need it, thank you. May it please the court, I'm Edward Hutz. First of all, I would like to introduce Laura Schnackel to the court. She's the plaintiff in this case. I would also like to introduce a senior certified law student, Emily Dixon, who worked on this brief but wasn't senior certified, so her name's not on the brief, otherwise it would be, and she's gonna be working in our firm when she graduates from Creighton.
Welcome.
I agree that this was a hard case. There were a lot of difficult issues. There were a lot of contested issues. There were a lot of evidence on the contested issues.
Mr. Hutz, I'm sorry to throw you right off the bat.
That's okay.
But what's your interpretation of the phrase from the amended decree that I read about the AEA stock?
She gets 500 shares.
500 shares.
500 shares. But if Greg issues himself 1,000 shares for no more consideration, then Laura should get a proportionate amount. If other people come in and invest, no. The judge provided that any further investment into AEA was to be reimbursed to whoever made it before the value of AEA that was then divided. So if going forward, Greg or SEI invests another $4 million into SEA and it is later sold for $20 million, that $4 million comes off the top and is reimbursed to whoever invested it, and the remainder is split.
Wait, where are you getting that?
Well, it's in that 90-page decree dealing with.
That's not helpful.
I know. You know.
So I'm looking at the provision that deals with AEA, the part that gives, you know, that talks about there's 10,000 shares, but that only says any future AEA R&D costs.
Future R&D, well, the R&D costs are the money that goes from either Mr. Schnackel or SEI into AEA.
So that's what you're talking
that's
about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. It shall be bore and paid by Greg as the majority shareholder of SEI.
Correct. Now, keep in mind, AEA is not a subsidiary of SEI. AEA is owned 100% by Mr. Schnackel. SEI is owned 100% by Mr. Schnackel. The argument that AEA needs to be a party to this, then why doesn't SEI have to be a party to this? Because they're in the same deal. Mr. Schnackel owns the shares of those two corporations, and those shares are marital.
Let me ask you this. The way the court has the amended decree written, where Laura gets 50% of any future profits, what does the 500 shares get her? What value of that?
Okay.
What's the value of that?
That was the subject of a lot of, I guess, testimony and argumentative cross-examination, okay, at trial. The decision to commercialize AEA is Greg Schnackle's solely and only. As the way it's being used now as a software aid to SEI, SEI pays the R&D costs or whatever the costs are to work on the software program. If Greg decides that he wants to commercialize it and sell it to other engineering firms, he can do that.
Right. And Laura will get 50% of the profit.
That's correct. That's
even
correct.
Even without having 500 shares. My question is, what's the value of the 500 shares? The way the court has the order, the amended decree written, is Laura gets 50% of any future profits.
After the reduction for
right.
any
after
new
the,
investment.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So what's the value? Does she really want to be a partner with her ex-husband?
Well, we don't know what the value is. I made a proposal to the district judge to reimburse her half of the R&D costs. One way or the other, this is an interest, as Judge Arterburn said, this is an entity that a lot of marital money went into develop.
Right.
No question. $7 or $8 or $9 million. And she should get the benefit of that, wherever the benefit of that may or may not come out in the future.
But doesn't that come out with the court's language that says she gets 50% of the profits?
Okay,
be a
one
share,
way or the other.
A potential share value.
A potential share value. Whether you do it by potential by future profits or you do it by shareholder rights, I don't know that it makes that much difference.
So if the court's giving
am I
her...
Am I understanding the question?
What I'm getting at is, if Laura gets 50% of future profits, which is what the court has ordered, does having 500 shares add anything to what she's receiving?
Other than security for the future profits? Security for the future profits.
But
she has shareholder rights under the Nebraska statutes, I suppose.
I'm just wondering if...
Rights to look at records, rights to look at contracts, whatever the Nebraska Corporation Act allows a shareholder to have.
Would you mind jumping to your cross appeal?
Sure. The cross appeal deals with three pretty simple pools of money. Laura's money from her mom that went into TD Ameritrade, and there were three stocks there, Bank of America, Howard Hughes Corporation, and JCPenney. The JCPenney lost $30,000. She sold it. The appreciation of the TD Ameritrade was $291,000. She then took about $290,000 and invested in a concordant fund, which is managed by a guy named Brad Knuth at D.A. Davidson. I doubt Laura even knows what stocks were in that concordant fund. The appreciation of that is $225,000. Then there was an inheritance from her brother when he passed away, and she got there was appreciation on that of $172,000, which is how the judge came up with the $689,000. Here's how the record reflects this testimony. In the discussion about what stocks to pick, Laura said to Greg, how about this Howard Hughes Corporation? See, he had a bunch of it already. He goes, yeah, that sounds good. And she said, well, how about Bank of America? And he said, well, I think that's a good investment. There wasn't any research done. There was just some information that he had from his own investment that is detailed in the record that was part of that Goldman Sachs accounts. The evidence on the brother's inheritance that came after the mom's is a little, and Laura was unsure about some of that, and the judge found, because she was unsure about it, the judge found it should be included in marital. But the idea, and I guess this court has the opportunity to flesh out the Stevens jurisprudence or take the first stab at it. I haven't seen any cases since Stevens that talk about what is active and what is passive, but when Stevens came out in the middle of this case, I predicted that there would be a whole group of cases deciding what is active and what is passive. And I guess you're going to take a...
They're in the pipeline.
Right, 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 right. The problem, and I'll say this, I was going to say this at the beginning, and I'll say it now, and I'll say it at the end. With the exception of the appreciation of inherited funds, Judge Wheelock worked really hard on this case. He issued that first decree, 90-page decree, within 2.5, 3 weeks of the end of the trial, which, by the way, ended at 8 o'clock at night on Friday of the eighth day. We both filed motions to amend or motions for new trial. We went back and had a long session with him. He issued his amended decree within a day or two of that hearing. He was able to evaluate the witnesses. He was able to evaluate the evidence on these contested issues. And with the exception of this Stevens issue, he got it right. We would ask that his decision be affirmed. Not to say that I agree with every piece of it, but overall, I think he did a fabulous job. The problem with this case and the theme of the trial and the theme in this appeal is Greg's position that he wanted to minimize Laura Schnackel's contribution to this 32-year marriage because she got a cleaning lady and had a nanny. He wanted to minimize her alimony because she didn't make the full contribution to the marriage that he did. Through some levels of artifice and deceit, he wanted to avoid, he wanted to reduce the value of SEI to make the loan from his mother a deduction from the value, to make the loan that he took out from the proceeds of the New York condo that was in Mr. Maloney's escrow account a deduction and an obligation of SEI, therefore reducing its value by a corresponding amount. And most of all, he wanted to avoid the responsibility of the $3.5 million that he spent on his New York lifestyle with his New York wife. And when I say New York wife, I don't say that lightly. He paid, starting in September of, well, first of all, he told his daughter about this girl, this woman, in August of 2013. He asked this woman to marry him on September 3rd or 4th, 2013. From that point forward, and the records reflected in these exhibits 37, 38, and 39, which are the credit card receipts for that credit card, 9779, and a summary, and then another summary that itemizes it by category, he didn't want to take responsibility for that. The fact of the matter is, in that month starting about August 30, 31st, or September 1 of 2013, Mr. Schnackel just put Laura aside and moved on with his life with his New York girlfriend.
Mr. Hutz, if to go back to the act of appreciation rule, if we were to agree with your argument that the facts in this case don't meet the criteria to constitute act of appreciation, would there need to be an adjustment in the marital equalization?
Yes. There would.
That would be favorable to your client.
That's correct. That's correct. I think you'd either have to do it or you'd have to send it back to Judge Wheelock to do it. Because his exhibit 401 or 400 that is an exhibit that he tailored from one that we prepared as we went through the trial, and he allocated the assets and the values, and then
And he did some more math after that.
He did some more math after that, mm-hmm. Right.
So, but he divided the appreciation between
he
the
did.
Two parties.
He did. And it had the effect of, let's say it was 600 and some thousand.
Right.
He took half of that and reduced Mr. Schnackel's equalization obligation. That's how he did it. In other words, he put half of that 680,000 as an asset into Mr. Schnackel's column. Mm-hmm. And then the effect of that was to reduce his equalization payment.
So there needs to be an adjustment.
There does. So I'm going to say this again. With that one exception, Judge Wheelock got it right. He worked very hard on this. Very complicated case, and we ask that it be affirmed with the exception of the cross appeal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.